Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing. Okay, looks like we're recording. Bike Sport Radio, take one.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. To ride my bicycle, I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bark,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say
him. And yours was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Royce.
You say God,
give me a choice.
You say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
And all I wanna do is
And that is our introduction for Bike Sport Radio on this beautiful day in April, I believe April 10th, 2017. Been MIA for a little while, had some issues going on, but we're back. Bike Sport Radio is back and whole lot of stuff to review and talk about. Race season is in the books here. We are full bore. Road, crit, time trial, mountain bike. You name it, it's going. So it's ridiculous how crowded the calendar really is. I think every weekend is just completely filled. And it's just way too much to even cover in one day or two shows or whatever. It's nuts. So, we've been out there and just I'm going to try to do my best to bring everything I can to you as I get the info. Paris-Roubaix was on start yesterday, so that was going on as well. You can catch that on your local cable network on, I believe it is NBC Sports, and actually today they're going to broadcast it, of course, with the internet and everything else. Everyone's already seen it, so it's they've been watching it. So anyways, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm sure the results are in here somewhere. Anyway, so yeah, this is Robert, Bike Sport Radio, and we're broadcasting from the temporary studio that I'm in right now just because sometimes it's hard to get into LA, man, especially with traffic in the mornings. I know I should be riding my bike in, but I raced yesterday and I'm on recovery day, so didn't want to do that many miles. But anyways, we'll be playing live on both podcasts at Radio for All and at killradio.org. We'll be in rotation. Try to have this playing at our regular scheduled time, which is 4 o'clock on Mondays. Anyways, let's get into some events coming up. We're going to go into the calendar first before we talk about past events and whatnot. And we're in the beautiful month of April, so take a look at what's coming up according to our SoCalCycling.com website, where you can get all your information, lots of lists and results from past races, and of course, you know, find out what's coming up in the future in your area. So let's see here. We're in March, April, I'm sorry. Anyway, April, what do we got coming up? Well, we had the April 15th was San Luis Rey Road Race, which sadly had to be postponed. A new date is going to be determined. I was looking forward to that, but we will be waiting here, and as soon as I find out when it comes up, I will let you guys know. Easter Sunday in Ontario, the Easter Sunday Crit, and then following weekend is the big weekend for many cyclists. I'm not sure how many SoCal cyclists actually go up there and do it, but the Seattle Classic's going on, and it is, if you've never gone to the Seattle Classic, you make it at least a once-in-a-lifetime trip. I mean, and the thing is, don't plan on relaxing because it is it's busy. I mean, it is really busy to be up there. If everything starts Thursday and goes through Sunday till dark. So you want to do road Gran Fondo, mountain bike Gran Fondo. You want to go do a road racing. You want to do, I mean, just you name it, it's there. So take a look at it. You can get information on that, seattleclassic.com, and find out everything you need to know. It's a fun event. I'm usually there. This year, I've got so many conflicts with work and whatnot that I can't get there, and I'm really bummed, but, you know, I think I've been going there for the last, like, 15 years, and it's a different show every year, so, anyways, take a look at that, and see if it's an event you want to do, and check that out. So that's the weekend. It says the weekend of the 21st to 23rd, but, yeah, everything really starts, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so something going on every day. All right, April 27th to 29th, we got the Collegiate and Paracycling Road National Championships down in out in Grand Junction, Colorado. It is a road race, so you can get information on that at usacycling.com. Has all the information there. And they'll direct you to the website, so you can get info. And then April 30th, we got the Dana Point Grand Prix of Cycling. And there's a lot going on that weekend from what I've gathered. I believe there's also a mountain bike event the day before. So kind of this is the road side of the calendar here, and these are the road races that I'm reporting on now. May 3rd through 7th, we've got the Redlands Bicycle Classic Stage Race out in Redlands. And then the 7th, we have the Redlands Criterium following last day of there for the stage race. May 13th, we've got the Kurt Sutliff Memorial Santiago Canyon Time Trial out in Mission Viejo. And that's the final race in their series, I believe. Let's see here. You can get information there, socalcycling.com/raceann. And looks like it's a May 13th time trial through Santiago Canyon area there. And I guess you go start to start at Rockin' Road Cyclery. So, 11-mile time trial, not bad. Sounds like that could be pretty painful. Could be. Let's see. And, May 14th through May 20th, we got the Amgen Tour of California. As nice as it is to see a California tour come through, I think I can leave this one this year. I don't know. I don't like the way things are run on it. But that's my opinion. I've gone to it as spectator and media, and I mean, go check it out. I mean, it's cool. I mean, especially, you know, if you can make it to either day one, you know, where they're doing, well, let's see. Let me see how it works this year. Because last year they went from south to north. This year they're going north to south. Wait, what did I say before? I don't remember. Anyways, yeah, they're starting up in Sacramento, stage one. Stage two being Modesto to San Jose. Stage three, Pismo Beach to Morro Bay. Stage four, Santa Barbara to Santa Clarita. Stage five, Ontario to Mount Baldy, which I have been to these two stages, Santa Barbara, Santa Clarita, and Ontario, Mount Baldy. And I will tell you, they're just awesomely great spectator location, especially the Ontario to Mount Baldy. And it definitely is the one that packs up the most. Definitely a very busy day to be up there. But it's really cool because you see them up in the mountains. Then you got Big Bear Lake Time Trial, which is stage six. And then stage seven, they're going to come in from Mountain High to Pasadena. So that should be another good spectator-friendly site. And then, let's see here, was that? How many stages was that? Did I miss something? Yeah. So the last two stages there, looks like. The women's, it's just going to be a women's race that coincides with it. So we have stage one for the women. Starts on South Lake Tahoe. Stage two is also in South Lake Tahoe. Stage three is Elk Grove to Sacramento. And for some reason, the rest of the stages don't show up. And stage four is, I think, their final stage. And that's Sacramento. It looks like it's going to be a circuit race around Sacramento for sure. All right, so that is the Amgen Tour. And like I say, if you can get to one of those, like those mountain stages or one of the ones in town where they're going, like the Rose Bowl. They're probably going to end Pasadena somewhere in the Rose Bowl or go around there a few times. That's kind of nice. At least it's, you know, worth your time. You can see them come around a few times. And then team time trial championships, Lake Los Angeles time trial. That's May 27th, and it's around Lake Los Angeles up in the northern deserts here out of L.A. And then Westlake Village, we've got the Barry Wolf Grand Prix, and that's May 28th out in Westlake Village, and that is a crit. And no link to their info at the moment, so if I find out more on that, I think I know who's putting that on, but I won't do anything. We're still a ways away there, so got a month of planning. MTB, well, we just this past weekend, Kenda Cup is in full swing. We had the Fontana National last weekend, and this weekend, which also coincided with the final of the Southridge Winter Series, so it's kind of nice. Double whammy there, took care of two events at one time. But yeah, we had the Fontana City National. This last weekend, we had the Kenda Cup West Bonelli Park 2, which had some UCI racing going on. Had some top-level pros there. Of course, Sea Otter Classic, April 20th through 23rd. Lots of mountain biking, downhill, enduro, cross-country, and everything will be there as well. If you're planning to do cross-country or cyclocross, those are Sunday morning, and cyclocross is Saturday night. And then enduro and downhill is pretty much coinciding from like Friday to Sunday. There's an event every day, along with dual slalom and whatnot. It's kind of nice to see that. Here's a new event, and I'm actually very interested in this. Coming up in May 6th to be exact, out in Beatty, Nevada. I mean, we're talking out in the middle of BFE. Beatty, Nevada, Tinker Juarez, our friend, good old friend Tinker Juarez, is putting on a race called the Tinker Classic. And it's going to kind of take us back to the old school of Ridgecrest. Very similar terrain to the Ridgecrest Desert Classic. And I talked to him about it, and he's, you know, he wants to bring back that old school endurance type, you know, long point-to-point type, or long big loop type events that like Big Bear does. So yeah, that's going to be really awesome to find out about that. And he's got all kinds of interesting little things. You got to check out his website, tinkerclassic.com. It gives you kind of a little bit of previews about about what's going on. I love this True Grit homie. Now it's True Grit Home. I'm just trying to extend it a little bit. So yeah, he's got a bunch of different events. Looks like he's trying to put on together. So that's he's cool. He's working together with somebody else, it looks like. So that's good. Good for Tinker. Hopefully it happens. So it's planning to happen. I hope he gets great turnout. And let me see. It's gonna be at a place called Spicer Ranch. 100 kilometers or 60 kilometers? How do you want to suffer that day? Oh, God, that's just the thought. Oh, looks like a nice layout. Nice rolling hills. What is it? 4,642 feet of climbing for the 60K. Or if that's just not enough, let's see here. Oh, they got cutoff points, too. So, yeah, it's you're going to have to work. Definitely going to have to hustle. It's only 7,000 feet for the 100K. Come on, what's that? That's nothing. Yeah, Beatty in May. Think about that for a second. Take your camelbacks. All right, and then May 6th and 7th. Sadly, the same weekend as Tinker's Classic is the Los Olivos San Ynez Kenda Cup West race. And I know Mike Heckler's been working really hard on the area out there, so hats off to you, Mike, for giving us a pristine course. And for those who like to really plan ahead, which if you're going to Big Bear, you need to plan ahead because lodging could be difficult unless you drive up for the day. June 3rd through 4th, Kenda Cup West, Snow Summit 1, and then 2 weeks later, June 16th through 17th through 18th, we got Kenda Cup West, Snow Summit 2, which I believe is the final, possibly July 22nd, 23rd, Kenna Cup West. Yeah, no, Kenna Cup West, Crafts and Cranks. I believe that's going to be the final event for the series. And that's when I get to take home my bike that I am now part of the Club 300. So hopefully I get to win that raffle bike. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be awesome. Anyway, they're raffling off a bike if you join the Club 300, so I got a good chance right now. All right, so that was on the competitive side. Let's take a look here at the Grand Fondo Fun Rides and Tours for, let's get out of that month. Here we go. We're halfway through April, we're 2 weeks in April. So right now, we have for fun events so far, we've got the Tour of the Summerlin, Downtown Summerlin, Northwest Las Vegas. That is the 22nd through the 17th, April 22nd. I'm looking at 2 days here. 40, 60, and 80-mile distances. Take a look at tourtosummerlin.com for information. April 22nd, the 17th Annual Alpine Challenge Bike Ride in Alpine, California, down there near San Diego. East of San Diego, actually, up off the 8. On the city of Alpine, you've got 25, 50, 62, and 100 milers up there. AlpineChallenge.com. Going into May, you know, I feel like going to do this, but I'm just, I don't know, it's been kind of crazy. Rosarito de Ensenada bike ride. I used to do those when I was younger, I haven't done them now. 50 miler from Rosarito Beach to Ensenada on the old road. So, kind of nice. You finish right in the middle of downtown Ensenada and then drive on back. May 13th, I'll actually get information at rosaritoensenada.com for more information on that. Tour of Long Beach is the 13th, May 13th, and they've got a pretty fun event. 100-mile cruise, Grand Fondo, 62-mile metric, 30-mile tour, 5-mile family fun ride. All out of tourofLongBeach.com for more information, entry fees, and things like that. And the granddaddy of them all. There's one I'm looking forward to. And yes, it hurts. It's extremely painful, and you will never wipe the smile off your face when you're done. The 6th Annual Cervelo Belgian Waffle Ride Health and Fitness Expo. I got to throw that in. Yeah, it is one of the most brutal rides you'll ever do. Michael Marks and his crew put together, once again, a extremely tough, challenging, but really rewarding ride. BelgianWaffle.bike is your website. And you've got two choices. You can do the full waffle at 140 miles. Or if you feel like just not suffering too much, you can do the wafer at 70 miles. Either way, they both hurt. So... oh my gosh, I did the wafer a couple years ago because I wanted to go feel it out, and oh my goodness gracious, that was intense. It was fun, but you know, I was happy when I got to the end and was like, I'm happy I'm done. But then we saw wafflers still coming through. We were like, oh man, they're just going back out for the second half. But it's such a great experience that you just got to do it at least once. All right. And finishing off May so far, we have the Great Western Bicycle Rally down out and up north in Paso Robles. You can do anywhere from a 3-miler to 100 miles. So there's 25 different ride options. You can find something for everybody. Let's take a look at that, and that's at greatwesternbicyclerally.com. All right, so let's go into a couple of things. I could go ahead and give results for days, but I will say this. You guys know we have like UCI pro mountain bike racers and races here in the city of LA. Anybody know that? You can actually go and meet your local pro and your World Cup pro all in the same venue. Benelli had that yesterday. And surprisingly, nobody was there. I think internet, TV, live feeds, and whatnot kind of deter it, but it was really cool. It's nothing like going to one of these events and actually, like, I was just talking to somebody a few minutes ago about being out, you know, cooling down after your race or whatever, and, like, there's Emily Batty next to you, you know, or, you know, Chris Blevins, or, I mean, Todd Wells, or, I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah, or the future up-and-coming pro. I mean, there's so many people out there who are really fast and doing extremely well. And it's just amazing that, you know, it's here in the city of L.A. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to the TV and watch them on, you know, TV. But, yeah, they were here. We had a UCI-level race. We had a bunch of the pros here in town for the Kinda Cup West. And it was an amazing to just to watch this, you know. And some say that cross country is dying. And, you know, it's kind of sad, but I believe it is dying. But it's also starting to see a slight resurgence. So, you know, a good example is Over the Hump. Their weekday race series has so many people. And the golden, you know, what's the formula for that much draw? Well, number one, location, location, location. Okay. Two, cost per entry. And I guess I'm going off a little bit off the results, but, you know, people don't want to go and pay a fortune to race. And, you know, now anybody who's listening who's done a mountain bike race versus a crit or road race, there's a huge discrepancy in entry fee. Mountain bike races so far have definitely gone up. I think right now the average mountain bike entry fee is anywhere between, you know, $60 and $80. Now I know 5Ks are getting up there as well. I think it's about $60 to $70 to go run 3 miles. So, I mean, I get it, and I know that doing something in a metropolis, you know, in the city is really expensive, but I guess the reason why it's expensive is, number one, too many bloody events on the calendar. People are watching where they're spending their money. And because everything is so crowded, you're getting less entries because people have to decide. Instead of, and I've said this before, and people will, whatever, I don't care, I'll say it again. Every single promoter or anyone interested in putting an event together, you all need to sit down and not look at the USA Cycling calendar and go, okay, okay, okay. Everybody, just non-USA Cycling, we have to get together and say, hey, I like to do an event this weekend. I need to do an event this weekend. I need to do an event this weekend. That way, you're not stepping on each other's toes. That way, we're getting the old numbers. We're getting everything that we used to get. And that way, I know certain costs will go up, but, I mean, it's ridiculous to go pay. I think, you know, I don't want to rag on Kinda Cup because they do put on a pretty good show. But still, it's, you know, it's $55 to register. They want you to register online, which now connects a service fee of almost $5. So now you have $55, you're at $60 now. So you're $60 to race. You're paying $60 to race for 15 miles at the most, depending on what cat you are. So the dollar to mile value, oh, and mind you, the race is probably an hour long, and depending on where you live, takes you 45 minutes to drive there, to an hour to drive there. So does it make sense? No. One thing I have heard, the crits and road races kind of fall along the lines of cyclocross. You know, cyclocross, we pay $35 a race. Eh, not bad. Second race is $5 or $10, whatever the promoter charges. And I think the crits are along that same pattern, where you can race the second race for $5. So at least you get your races worth for the day. I just don't get why mountain bike is doing that. I know insurance is a little higher, maybe. Hard to say. I don't know. But it's one of the reasons why I believe that the entries are dying. It's, you know, we pay enough for the bikes as it is. So why now do we have to pay so much to go ride a trail that we can normally ride for free anyways? It's a little frustrating. you know, I love to do the whole Kinda Cup series, but I've literally got to save my pennies because the local races aren't bad. Gas, entry fee, take my own food. But now we're looking at Big Bear, we're looking at Santa Ynez, we're looking at, you know, 2.5 hour drive times for a 45-minute race. It's a tough pill to swallow for sure. You know, that's a lot of gas, especially with our gracious California gas tax. And it's definitely a tough pill to swallow. So, you know, I was kind of sad watching yesterday. You know, I stuck around for some of the UCI short track racing, and I know the cross country day was just dead. But you know, we had UCI pros racing on Saturday at Bonelli, and I can tell you right now, I think we had TV coverage, but there was no spectators. I mean, you look at Europe, and I mean, they're just lined with people, and here we don't have it. Why? Hard to say. You know, no advertisement. And like I said, if you didn't follow the series, you didn't know they were here. So what do we do? How do we turn this around? Well, my job is to try to let everybody know, hey, this is going on. But not everybody listens to the radio show. And as much as I try to blast it out there on Facebook and social media, it's only the people in the circle, right? And like I said, with the weekends being so busy, if you're trying to get upgrade points, you know, in your crit or road racing, you're going to be out doing that versus going out to check out an event. So it's tough. And I know every promoter is trying to make a little and survive, and I get it. But you guys really need to work together because you're basically killing yourselves. Oh, God, I just surprised I forgot to do this. Dummy me. If I don't say this, going back to upcoming events, because this is just came in, because I know someone's going to email me, text me, go, why didn't you say this? Brad House coming back to town, and he's going to put on his LA Circuit race. And I'm surprised it wasn't on the schedule. But you can find it at Facebook, LA Circuit Race. And great circuit race there, just to the north of LAX. And the weekend is April, the day is April 23rd, if I'm correct. No, yeah, April 23rd. And same location. If you've been there before, you know where it is. And I'll be playing medic that weekend. Yeah, April 23rd, 2017, LA Circuit Race, founded in 1994. So it is USA Cycling sanctioned. And look forward to seeing you there. Come by, say hi. I'll be in the medic tent. Good old Brad will be back in town, I think. We never know with Brad. But yeah, he should be here. And probably the week before, I'll have him in the studio. We'll get together and just be like the good old days of him and I bickering with each other on air. Should be fun. But anyway, so it's a class for everybody there. If you've never done that race, it's kind of fun. All right, so where was I? Going back to entries. So yeah, anyways, entry fees are, I think, what's killing us. I believe, and you know, back on to scheduling of events here. We have two over the humps this year. We have, well, let me rephrase that. We have similar events. We have the OC over the hump. And we also have our, we have our Northern LA County series, which started out with Over the Hump, but now it's called Pedal Fest. Anyways, Over the Hump OC starts, when is it? Season opener is May 9th, and goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then summer break. And then I believe that's all they're going to do this year, is 6 weeks. So, yeah, that's, and here's the thing, $30 entry fee. You know, that's swallowable right there. And then we have our Pedal Fest series, which is up here in Santa Clarita. And good old friend and fellow racer Greg Flanagan is putting on that series. And that also starts the same time, if I remember correctly. We're a couple weeks away from starting. Yeah, May 4th. May 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th. And then we have a little break. Then June 22nd, 29th, July 6th, and 13th. And bring your heat. Bring your ability to sustain heat. Tolerate heat, I should say. Yeah, it's a great, I love this new venue. So this is really going to be cool. It's at Central Park in Santa Clarita. So no more parking fees to get in. Gates open at 4. Course open for pre-riding at 4:30. You got to have a number plate on. They're going to whack you. You can actually buy a dinner. Pre-riding closes at 5:30. Kids race at 5:30. Stage at start 5:45, and we're off the line by 6. So dinner goes from 5 to 8, and they usually have some really good food. So and what's really cool is similar to over the hump is right as you finish, you go up and see how you did. Oh man, looks like I almost made the cover sheet of the Pedal Fest website. It looks like my arm. Looks like my gloves. Looks like my kit. Might be me. Oh, that'd be funny if it is. I'm going to have to see if it is me or not. No, I'm trying to really look at the picture. I have to ask Greg. Anyways, yeah, great family. It's all family run. And if you really want to, like, try it, this by far is one of the easiest ways to do it, either series. And I know logistically it's Orange County and LA County, basically. So I've gone and done the Orange County one, and it's like I've gotten there right as, 15 minutes to start. So it's a tough haul to get there in time, but it's a fun course. Irvine Lake is where the Orange County one takes place. And like I said, Pedal Fest is a great series as well. I love that it runs a little bit later. It starts at 6 and gives you a little more time to get there. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. All right, so where were we going? Let's take a little quick momentary break here. And we're going to transition into something else. A couple weeks ago, Turn Bicycles sent me one of their Eclipse X22s. And when I first got it, I was like, dude, this is a rad bike. I just loved it. And the styling, the sleekness, I just like no other. And then you realize that, holy crap, I'm looking at a folding bike of all things. Yeah, it's a legit folding bike, packs up. Not as small as like a 20-inch wheel one, but it's a folding bike nonetheless. But it's a performance folding bike. Now, who's going to buy this? Well, I'd say someone who travels a lot. Someone who is on the road and still wants to compete. Anybody who's into some serious touring, long mileage touring, or just so you want a fast ride and you don't have the space. Now, the bike is set up amazingly. It's such amazingly well spec'd, okay? You've got Altegra 11 speed, you've got SLX hydraulic disc brakes, you've got amazing wheel set made by, hold on, I gotta remember who that is. I believe they're X1 wheels. And to be honest with you, the best thing I loved on that bike was the seat, of all things. It's an amazing seat. It's an actually Ergon seat. I always forget the name of it. David Weens introduced me to that a long time ago. And I was all like, well, you know what saddles are just really hard to figure out. But anyway, so this bike got to me, and it's one of their demo lines, so you know what a demo bike, you just really never know what you're getting. But holy cow, is this an amazing bike. Just, I mean, utterly amazing. So the X22, also known as the Blackbird, it's an all blacked out bike, comes with Schwabe 26-1 Kojak tires, FSA crank. You've got this just 26-inch wheels, and they're made by Kinetics. That's who it was. Kinetics Pro X26-inch wheels, straight pole, sapium spokes, Altegra. You got a mix of Altegra rear derailleur, 105 front drivetrain with 22 speeds, Grand Tour gear inches. Now, basically, you're looking at the nice big cassette in the rear with almost a full-size front crank. I believe it's pulling a 52. You got SLX hydraulic disc brakes, and the handlebar and stem system are really kind of weird at first to look at, but you've just got infinite adjustability on that thing. The grips are really nice, ergonomic hand grips. It's just amazing stuff put on this bike. Folds up, compact, fits in the back of your SUV. So, I guess here's the big question. Can it hang in a ride? So, yours truly took it out. I took it out, and I flogged this thing around. I took it out on some group rides, and the first thing, of course, I got was all the stares. You're going to be able to keep up? I said, sure. I said, are you? You know me and my smart ass remarks sometimes. So, anyways, yeah, I went out and I let out the group ride. And just amazed at what this bike does. But here's the thing. We think folding bikes. So you've obviously got a joint that, you know, where the bikes fold. So one thing about Tern, their joint, their frame joint, is an amazingly stiff component on this bike. So when you actually stand up and power this bike, it is amazing how stiff and responsive it is. And for this kind of bike, their target, this is what you want. You want response. You want something that's going to, when you don't want to feel that flexible joint. And their OCL frame joint, which is, that's their, what it's called, it locks, is adjustable and solid. Because over time, you know, the joints will develop some, you know, play. Well, they've eliminated that because you can actually adjust it, which is really cool. And the lever, there's a little adjusting rod. So you can tighten that joint up. Now, in the beginning, don't overdo it because metal can deform. So you want to make sure it's tensioned just right. And they do go through that with you on how to make sure that, you know, you're keeping everything tight and tidy. The bike tracks amazingly well. I can corner this bike. I can push it into a corner hard. It's kind of weird, though. You can't get, you can get pretty aero on it. But, you know, it's not a full-on race bike. I don't see why you couldn't do it. But, you know, it's missing a couple of those features that you would want for, you know, your everyday race bike. But now this is where this comes in handy. This is a great bike that if I were traveling for a weekend, I'm on vacation, but I still need to get some miles in, and I don't have room to take my full bike, you know, for whatever reason, this thing throws it in a bag and you throw it on the airplane. I mean, and it's small enough to go on as carry-on luggage. You don't have to pay bike fees. Also, you can throw it in the back of your SUV, and it's not to take up that much room as well. Even the back of your wagon, this thing fits. So it's an awesome tool, and I decided that I wanted to use it to commute and run errands. You know, I hate driving cars, so I set it up to commute and threw a rack on it, some bags on it, lights, and I even got a power meter put on it. You know, why not? The power meter, though, is a different kind. We'll talk about that in another show. So, you know, riding this bike around, it's amazing. I've did a couple ciclovias on it. That was fun. Going by people on full-on road bikes and you're cruising by them on a folding bike, that just blows their mind. But just the amount of fun you can have on this bike, it's amazing. It's nimble, it's small, it moves, it's stiff, and it's an amazing bike. You need to check out the Tern Bicycles Eclipse X22. Now, their full line of folding bikes, though, they're all built the same way. They all apply the same technology into them. They don't want you to be riding this flexi noodle. This bike is truly one of the fastest folding bikes I've ever ridden. Now, the Eclipse line is all along the same lines. You're dealing with a 16-inch wheel, a 20-inch wheel, and then you have the 26-inch wheel. Let me rephrase that. The Eclipse D16, the P20 is the next line down, is a 20-speed, so it's a 10-speed drivetrain, and it is also on 26-inch wheels. And then you have the D16, which is also 26-inch wheels, and you go down to a, this is your introductory line of bike here. Same principles though. It's still going to have the, let me see here, I'm trying to get the specs on the drivetrain. Hold on. Did I miss something here? Hate when I can't find the specs. But it's just along the same line. So 26-inch wheel bike. It is mid-range and price-wise. It looks to be a, let's see, we're still on hydraulic disc brakes, which is really good. Oh, here we go, specs. So, 2x8. So, yeah, that's the 16. So, it's an 8-speed rear. Same thing. Center lock disc for Shimano. We Schwabe Spicer tires. Double wall aluminum, no-name rims. Altus Clarius for drivetrain. So, it's an entry-level bike for sure. Same, though, same adjustabilities on the stem. Got a Porter saddle, the clamping mechanism still the same. So this is something that you can buy the basic bike and upgrade components. It'll take all standard road components. So they also have a tour version, 26-inch wheel called the Road Warrior, and same thing here. It's gonna, this one's nice. It comes already with the racks on it. And one issue though, when you fold it and you have racks, you got to make sure that they clear. So, you know, it's a little thicker than normal when they have the racks, but this bike is definitely already set up to tour. It's a 2x9 drivetrain. This one has the 24-inch wheels on it, a little stouter. And when they do say it takes you 10 seconds to fold it, they're not kidding. It really does take you 10 seconds to fold it. So, great for taking it on the train or whatnot. This one comes with the Shimano Dior, a mix of Dior components and FSA cranks, flat bar shifters. The one thing I did, this thing does have, they do all run flat bars. There's no drop bars on these guys, so which is fine. You know, they do great. So that's the Eclipse line, and they're all the 26-inch ones. So the other one that I hear is also really good, and I'm waiting to get my hands on one of these, is the Verge. And these are a little smaller wheeled, but just as fast. So we have a Verge, the Verge line, and I believe I'm looking at a Verge X18, which is just amazingly looking bike. Super fast, 2x9 drivetrain. But just take a look at all their bikes, turnbicycles.com. Pictures up will be on our Facebook page of the bike in action. I have a bunch of pictures of it in its natural habitat. It's a great touring bike. It's a great commuting bike. It's great if you're just low on space and you need that bike to be out there. But, you know, it really blew my mind is when I'd stand up on the bike and the thing just launched. And I was like, whoa, what was that? And that could also be kind of, and I talked to a couple of the guys at Tern about this, is that the bike is almost too stiff in some situations. So he showed me that a lot of these do come with a telescoping seat post, which gives you the capabilities to put a suspended seat post in there to take some of that road shock. Because these are so stiff, they're not made of carbon, They don't, you know, they're not going to absorb like a lot of high-end road bikes do, but it does allow you to change it up a bit and add some sort of suspension seat post, which we definitely will talk about very soon. It's funny, he pulled out a post that I'm very familiar with, and it's something that can be retrofitted into these bikes. So one thing too, I'm on the tall side. It is one size fits all. I'm at 5'11", and I have a lot of seat posts sticking out of this thing, which is good. It's got plenty of seat posts to stick out. They do have a size range on there, so you want to take a look at the website to find out exactly where you know you are. But let me tell you, with that much post sticking out, it's a pretty heavy-duty post. It's pretty thick, solid. I didn't get any flex on it. The only issue I had, I was testing a Topeak rack that mounted to the seat posts, and this seat post is extremely oversized. So it's going to be very unique. So if you are going to put a rack on one of these bikes, you're definitely going to want to go to a frame mount versus a seat post mount. Also, the seat post does have to drop when you fold the bike, so you definitely don't want to do that. You want a frame mount for sure. Otherwise, it's just an awesome bike. I highly recommend, if you're looking for something like this, something where you wanna, you don't have space, you travel, whatever situation, you just kind of want that backup fun bike. I'll be honest with you, I've done both things with it. I've ridden it to errands. I've ridden it in group rides. I've ridden the train on it. It actually climbs pretty well. It's kind of surprised me with the positioning. I didn't think I could climb as good as it did. It climbs really well. But more importantly, I've taken it out with the kids and riding around the paths and having a great time with this bike. And, you know, it makes people look like, what is that thing? And I show it to them. I break it down. Look, check this out. Boom, boom, boom. Break it down 10 seconds. Fold it up. And they're like, whoa. It's like, yeah, throw this back of your car. No need for a bike rack. So Turn Bikes, turnbicycles.com. Take a look at all the bikes they have. The biggest talk coming out of Turn right now is the Voltron, or the Vectron. I'm sorry. I always want to add Volt, but it's called the Vectron. It is their Bosch-powered pedal assist bike. And the teaser on this guy is the range. Easily, from what I was told. Well, first of all, there's just too many good things on this bike. But it'll fit a rider from 4'10 to 6'5. It will store under your desk. It has... If you've looked at if you go on to some of our previous shows, especially from Interbike, you'll see video of this bike. This one's a little heavier. It has an assist. So once you fold it up and lock it down, it has a walking assist. You hit a button and it'll kind of power itself. So it is an amazing, amazing bike. Hydraulic disc, everything same. I mean, same technology. Control panel, battery, built-in headlight, 150 lumen light. It's like, good gosh, you know, why do I need a car? It is 20-inch wheels. It's a 1x10 drivetrain. I'm trying to remember the range. The range was just phenomenal. It's got a max speed of 20 miles per hour with assist, but here's the kicker. You can go between 40 and 80 miles on the battery. So anyways, yeah, the battery range is just amazing, and that to me is, I have a 20 mile commute. And this thing would just be awesome, because I tell you what, I'd rather spend that hour on a bike getting my ride in, not fiddling with traffic and spending money on gas. So this guy might be worth it for me to invest in, for sure. I'm looking at it. I'm waiting for them to hit the States. They're starting to come in. I'm hoping to have a review on one when they get here. And I'm going to tell you, don't knock the folding bike, especially from Turn. I have seen them, and this it's amazing the technology that's been put into it. So take a look. Find your local Turn dealer. I know here in the Valley, I know where I live in the Valley, Bicycle Johns is a dealer, Montrose Bikes is a dealer, and just go on to their website and find a local dealer and go check out these bikes. Go test ride one. Go ride one. That's what does it. The minute you ride a Turn, it's just like, dude, that's an awesome bike. It brings the fun back into riding. And they have one for every price point. So anybody can get one. You don't have to spend the big bucks on it. Of course, they'd want you to. If you want the cool ones, you're going to spend a little more. But you know what? Still way cheaper than a lot of other stuff we spend money on. Body Float by Cyrus. It's a body float isolation system. And we don't call it just a C-post. It is a system. This is an amazing piece of technology. And you'll hear me say that over and over again because there's just so much coming out these days. The body float post isolates you from a lot of that road shock and road movement. You still get a feel for the road while you're sitting on the seat, but when you get into rougher terrain, especially that on a gravel bike or whatnot, or even a mountain bike, you can really start losing a lot of your cadence. And what this does is, like it was explained to me, this is a motor mount in vibration insulator. It insulates you from a lot of that road shock and movement. And I've not only been using this on my gravel bike or my cross bike, but I've also been using it on the road a lot. And it's amazing how much more comfortable it is on the road. Now, there is a learning curve to it. There's a way to set this post up, which they go through in all the instruction literature that comes with it. But once you're set, it's set. And you just motor along like you normally would. You treat it as if it is still a rigid post. You don't totally rely on it completely for suspension, but it does definitely isolate. And that's what you want to do. Now, I spoke when I was on that Turn, I was sitting there just going, God, I wish I had my post. I could really feel the difference on the same types of roads between a rigid post and the isolation post. And by far, the isolation post, you get off the bike, you're feeling so much more refreshed, you're having so much more energy. But more importantly, your leg cadence improves. It's amazing how fast you can spin the pedals when you are not dealing with trying to absorb the energy from uneven road surfaces. Just it's a little heavier than a 100-gram carbon post, but what you make up for is your power, your smoothness, your comfort, your rest, your energy is not being wasted. Also, your energy doesn't go into the seat post. The energy still stays being transferred into your cranks. So, take a look at the website, ridebodyfloat.com. They've got some great videos to show you how it works. But more importantly, it gives you all the setup configurations, whatnot, tells you how to tune it, shows you the line. But just watching the video, you'd be amazed at how much you absorb. And it goes into your body. Your muscles do this. Your muscles will absorb all this energy, and it takes away from other things. They look funny. They look different. They're a little heavy. But you know what? It's worth it. And especially, like I say, if you're on a gravel bike and you're definitely, or a commuter, and this is where I said, the Turns with that telescoping seat post would allow me to use this post, because that's one thing I brought up, is the fact that I was kind of limited and I was kind of stiff, and it's the first thing that was shown to me was, oh, look at this. I go, yep, I'm very familiar with that post. I really like it. Take a look. Single speed mountain bike racers, hardtail mountain bike racers, look at this post. You want an advantage? You want to be able, Brad Nelson, who's one of the ambassadors and sales guys who works with Poor Body Float, he's a single speed racer. He's got such a freaking phenomenal leg turnover. and part of it is because of this post. He outspins everybody. I witnessed it at Cross Vegas last year, how fast he moved through the field. And you could see him, he stood out. Whereas everybody was chop, 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 chop. He was rolling through that chop. His leg cadence didn't change. It's amazing. Once I got mine dialed in, I was doing the same thing. I was cruising through people in the rough chop grass during cyclocross season, and my cadence was rocking. I was actually carrying too much speed into a few corners and messed them up. But I'd rather carry too much speed than not enough. So take a look at this body float system. I've put it some serious miles on it. It is a definitely quality piece of machining here. It does have a lot of moving parts, and you would think they'd start creating a lot of slop and play, but so far this thing is as tight as day one. And just to compare it, my brand new Epic has a dropper on it, and when I first got it, it was fairly tight, and I thought, great, it's going to stay that way. Oh, just in the few months I've had it, it's already got slop and side play movement in it, and I don't even drop the post. So this thing here, it's just really well machined. Now, one of the things, if you run a zero offset post, this could pose a slight little issue. I'm used to running zero posts. However, with this one, I was able to make it work for me. Some people I know are very finicky. They were working on a zero, but it right now is about a 15 to 20 mil setback. But because of the way that the post moves and whatnot, you should be able to get your seat fairly close to your normal position. If not, at your normal position, as long as there's no real major fitting issues, and you don't lose any integrity, because you're not going to weaken the seat, because the actual system moves and rotates and will absorb some of that energy, so you're not going to bend rails. So lots of great advantages to this. Take a look at it, bodyfloat.com. You see the whole product line. They have three different versions, aluminum, carbon, and tie, if I remember correctly. I'm currently running a carbon one, and it's not that much heavier, really. So, depending on the carbon you use, but it's really not that heavy, and it's definitely, I think, for the energy savings you get in the long run, it's worth it. So just a little heads up on the prices. Looks like the tie one's no longer in production. Aluminum starts at $249, carbon fibers at $395, and I'll find out if the tie, I think the tie one may, there wasn't too much draw for it, so it was either carbon or aluminum. But if you go online and buy it, and also you'll need to know, they do come in short and long. So a short would be 330 and long would be 380. They're currently only in 27.2. However, they do offer a fitment shim, so you can fit it up to, I believe, whatever size you need. Just contact them and they'll let you know. Alrighty. So, and a weight. Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't thrown it on the scale. I'm not really concerned with weight on my gravel bike / cross bike right now. I know that it's a little bit heavier. I think it's like 200 or 300 grams heavier, but for what I'm getting out of it, it's not even affecting me. And I know everybody's all, weight weenie-ish. Sometimes, here it's 435 grams for the carbon. Which isn't bad considering it's a moving post. So 453 grams. There's a lot there, but let me tell you, it's definitely worth it. So take a look at that. And you can order them online as well, or go to your local shop and see if they are carrying it or can get it. I know Montrose Bikes out in La Cañada can get them, or you can go ahead and go order online. Tell them Robert at Bikesport Radio sent you. Maybe they'll cut you a little bit of a break. All right, so I am Oh my gosh, it's been a while. I haven't been on the air. We're at an hour into the show. I'm going to save some info for next show. We have Topeak. We have Elite. We have Power Pod. You guys are going to really want to listen to that one. Power Pod is revolutionizing the way power meters are done. I'll give you some feedback on that. Also coming up very soon, Cyclique. You may have heard that name before. They're the makers of the Fly 6 rear taillight camera. They also now have the Fly 12, which is a front-mounted camera and headlight built into one unit. That is on its way, and I'm looking forward to putting that through the paces. And just FYI, if anybody's interested, and I know there's been some interest in that. I know they're very, you know, right now, like I said, I always push cameras and lights, cameras and lights, cameras and lights. Cyclique has made a special offer to Bike Sport Radio listeners, and I'll put it on the Facebook page as well. They're setting us up with our own little code. So you can get a 10% discount on a Fly 6 and or a Fly 12, valid until May 31st. And the code is Bike Sport Radio, one word, capital B, capital S, capital R in that, Bike Sport Radio. Type that in, the discount code gives you 10% off right away. So take a look at that. I'll give you my feedback. You guys know exactly how I feel about the Fly 6. I love it. I don't ride without it. Should be on everybody's bike because you can't see what's coming up from behind you, but at least you'll have proof of what it was that got you. God willing, that doesn't happen. Also, such a sad time. We have lost several riders recently. It's really sad. We lost somebody on the Montrose ride. We lost Mike Hall to a car. And recently, we actually just lost Steve Tilford. How could I forget Steve? Steve Tilford. Non-bike related accident. He was driving and had a severe automobile accident. So, guys, be careful out there. Time's precious. Enjoy your life. Hug your family. Love your loved ones. And be careful out there. Guard yourself, protect yourself, ride smart, be safe. And for now, I say farewell to our next Bike Sport Radio show. Take care.